So I think I missed something, but I think that's okay. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. And this scripture, or the verses that we're going to read, are actually quite a small part and sort of in the center of a larger piece in which we find Jesus talking about himself, and the NIV titles that piece called The Shepherd and His Flock. And we're going to read from verses 7 to 11. Before we do that, let me lead you in a prayer. God, right now, we open our hearts to receive your word. Grant us the grace and the courage to allow it to sink in and to affect us and to renew us and to change us through the grace and power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So we're going to jump in, and I'll sort of connect some dots later, but we're going to jump in right in the middle of what Jesus is saying. And Jesus says, beginning at verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy.'" And then these next two pieces here are our focus for this morning. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Well, I came to know Billy and Myra, not their real names. I came to know Billy and Myra through my Zen cable channel. Billy and Myra are really nice people. They are young. They are fit. They are friendly. And they are living the dream. They are living a most amazing life, and so no wonder they invite us to join them. "Have you ever thought about changing your life?" they ask. We are two people that had that same thought and decided to do it. We quit our city jobs to pursue our dream of sailing and living freely on the ocean. If you've ever had that little voice in the back of your mind that now and again tries to convince you to break free, we want to show you that anyone can do it. Anyone can break free of their routines to make their dreams an everyday reality. And so it is that Billy and Myra sold everything they had. They liquidated their assets. They quit their jobs. They left the rat race of corporate France, gathered up all of their money, and gave it to themselves. They bought a sailboat, bathing suits, suntan lotion, surfboards, and enough diving equipment for the two of them. And off they went to live their new life in what could easily be called paradise, sailing the seven seas of Southeast Asia. Free of the rat race, free of the responsibility, free of the shoulds and supposed tos that are so oppressive in our lives. Have you ever thought about changing your life? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I have. I mean, who hasn't? And who wouldn't want to change their lives to look like this? Really? I mean, my goodness, what a dream. What paradise. And there's no doubt about it. I am drawn to the dream. I mean, who wouldn't want to step out of all of that pressure and all the responsibility and all the stress and noise and need and want and bad news that we just constantly hear about and float in a boat, in a bathing suit, in paradise? It sounds incredible. Oh, but I can't help it. There's this other little voice in the back of my mind, which I don't really like, but it's there, and it asks, who actually gets to do that? And what about the billions of people in the world for whom this will never, ever be a possibility? Like the refugees who are floating around in another boat, adrift and possibly sinking in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. Is that really true? You know, that anyone can do it? Or is this some kind of exclusive, elitist, exclusionary invitation promise that is actually putting almost the entire world on the outside looking in? And in the back of my mind, too, there's Jesus. Jesus, so attractive and yet so difficult. Sometimes I don't know what to do with him. I already have, you know, my bathing suits and bill of sale ready in hand in my dream. And then I hear his voice sounding like Billy and Myra telling me, I have come to give life too. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Well, in our scripture this morning, there are a lot of moving parts. And if you go home this afternoon and read that whole chapter, you will see that. Jesus, in his speaking here, uses many different images and metaphors. There are sheep and shepherds, there are thieves and robbers, there are gates and gatekeepers, there are pens and pastures. But through sorting through it all, we find that what Jesus, and we kind of capture this mostly in the verses that we've read, we find that what Jesus is doing here as he's speaking is he is calling out and he is comparing himself to messianic pretenders. Or another word we might use is messianic imposters. Messianic pretenders are fake life givers. They are the voices of ideology and theology. They can be religious voices, political voices, cultural voices, dream catcher voices. And these voices offer a life that sounds wonderful, to be sure, no question. But somehow, when you take a closer look, it's a life that is exclusionary and unattainable, a life that is ultimately unavailable to those who might need it, and possible for only a select few. In Jesus' mind, messianic pretenders are coming from another way, maybe a completely different way of thinking, sneaking in over the fence. And in the end, their way is destructive and damaging and, in fact, life-taking. Jesus here is speaking to a group of religious leaders who are called the Pharisees. I'm sure you've heard of them. And in Jesus' mind, at least here, the Pharisees are the ultimate example of messianic pretenders. And at the core of it, Jesus says that they are like hired hands or thieves who have no real vested interest in the sheep. The main issue is that when it comes to push and shove, and that time will come, these messianic pretenders will not really show that they care for the sheep. Not like a true owner would. They, says Jesus, care nothing for the sheep. There's no doubt that as Jesus is speaking and addressing these Pharisees, that he has the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel in mind. And this is what the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel says. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not care for the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed those who are ill or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. What Jesus is doing here is he is reflecting back to the Pharisees what they have become. He is calling them out for the way that their religion had become elitist and exclusionary and superior, lacking in connection and compassion. They had completely separated themselves from those who had been hit hard by life. That little voice in the back of my mind makes me think again of Billy and Myra. On one hand, when you look at them, you would not at all, you know, associate them with Pharisees, to be sure. And yet, as they bathe and snorkel out on the seven seas, I can't help but think that they are 100 million miles away from those refugees on that other boat. And those words, "anyone can do it," sound like brutal tyranny. Billy and Myra say they are looking for dream catchers, people who can live the same kind of life they do. But what they're really looking for are those who are young enough, strong enough, healthy enough, and of course, wealthy enough. Those who have not been cursed by the scourges of this earth. And really, when you think about it, the kingdom that they are offering, the paradise, is really a paradise that is reserved for the sleek and the strong. And that had become the message of the Pharisees too. By the time of Jesus, the Pharisees had turned their religion into an exclusive club for the strong, the powerful, the privileged, and the pure. And if your life looked anything like a sinking refugee boat, that was only a sign that God had cursed you. And too bad for you, and so sad. When Jesus speaks these words, he speaks them just after he has healed a man who was born blind. A man that the Pharisees saw as cursed by sin. A man too weak and disgraceful for the grace and the kingdom of God. And so the Pharisees do not like it at all that Jesus heals this man. They don't like it at all that Jesus is with that boat of refugees adrift on the Mediterranean Sea. That's not where, you know, God is supposed to be. And it's this healing and what Jesus is saying that raises the question about who is Jesus anyhow? And to this question, Jesus declares and proclaims, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." What Jesus is saying, again in reference to the prophet Ezekiel, what he is saying is that he is the one who embodies the promised good shepherd spoken of by the prophet. And in his healing, Jesus confirms it. This is the prophet. "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David," in other words, Jesus, "and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I myself will tend my sheep. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." You know, one of the things that we notice in reading this whole chapter 10 and in what Jesus says about himself is just how close he is to his sheep. He calls his sheep by name. His sheep know his voice. He says, "I know my sheep and my sheep know me." It's an image of intimacy and close proximity and deep, deep care and love. Jesus, in other words, is close to those who can't find their way. He is close to those who have wandered off the beaten path. He is close to those with limping legs and defeated spirits and broken down homes. Those are the ones, Jesus says, who I lay my life down for. That's how much I care. I enter the world of the refugee and the orphan. I take on the trauma of the brutalized. I experience the violence of the beaten. I stay close to the perils of the blind. I lay down my life for them. That is how much I care. And that's what makes Jesus so different. When Jesus says that he will lay down his life for the sheep, he means those who have no capital, no assets, no tools to make their life better. He means those who are swirling around in a sinking boat with nothing to offer, nothing to trade up. Those who have been excluded by distance and power and privilege. The distance and power and privilege of the messianic pretenders. I just finished reading the biography of Viola Davis called Finding Me. She is the actress who became known for her role in the movie The Help. And in her biography, she tells the story of how she grew up in wretched poverty, unbelievable poverty and domestic violence. Viola grew up in a home where there was no money, no food, no heat, and no running water, and very little safety. Later in life, Viola was asked by a friend, "How did you claw your way out of poverty?" And Viola answers, and she says that it all began with me getting on my knees. That's what happens when there are no answers in this world and no access to getting the answers. It's what happens, in other words, when there are so many messianic pretenders wanting to keep people in their place. Viola tells the story of when she was 9 years old. In the middle of the night, I had seen my dad attempting to break my mother's legs. My mom ran out of the house and was hiding in a woodsy area down our dead-end street, waiting for my dad to calm down. She finally tried to sneak back, but he was hiding in our front yard with a thick wooden stick and began to beat her violently in her legs. She screamed like an animal, but he just kept hitting her. My sisters and I ran outside in a panic. No one came to help us. No one looked out their windows despite the close confines of the homes in which we lived. I screamed. I screamed a primal, earth-shattering scream as if willing it to stop. But I couldn't. I was 9 years old. I couldn't stop the violence. I ran into the house still screaming. I ran into the bathroom where I often escaped and slammed the door. And there I fell to my knees in front of the toilet and screamed like the African women in the Gambia, screaming, laughing, singing out to God so that he can hear them, screaming to make my heart known, screaming to be saved. And God took me, Viola says. God took me. And everything in my life that has transpired since then has been a mixture of gifts from heaven that were like leap pads that carried me through. That's how the Good Shepherd works. You see, the Good Shepherd, who is a real Messiah, isn't out sailing in his bathing suit somewhere on the seven seas 100 million miles away. The Good Shepherd isn't concerned about abstract theological questions about who caused the suffering. The Good Shepherd isn't interested in religion that is built to separate and protect with the high walls of self-righteousness. Rather, it was the good shepherd who looked out his window and saw the need and heard the cries and was close enough to care, close enough to see and hear her tears, close enough to see her poverty and pain. And that is what makes Jesus so remarkably different. He is not at all interested in escaping the trouble of life. He's not at all interested in escaping the trouble of life. He is the real and true Messiah who knows what it's like to experience trauma and violence. A real and true Messiah who enters into the life of the sheep, his sheep. A real and true Messiah who lays down his life in mercy and grace and compassion. The good shepherd who lives and breathes and embodies the wonderful, healing, graceful work of God. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let me lead you in a prayer. And I invite you to take a moment to gather into your own heart what it is that you need to hear and receive and absorb. Lord, there are many who offer life in various ways, but there are none who have entered fully into the trouble of human life. Help us in this day and in our lives to see you as the Good Shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.